Lamed Gimel Amar Aleph at the very bottom. The Mishnah told us, Oshayu Anavav Merubin, if its berries are rove. Sounds like there are more berries than there are leaves. If there are more berries than leaves, then it is pasul. But if you take them off, you're good to go. You're just not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Amar Chista Davar Zeh, Rabbeinu HaGadol Amar. This thing, the following, Rabbeinu HaGadol, which I would have thought is a reference to who? No, I wouldn't have said Hashem. What?
Rabbi.
A big rabbi. Who would you have said?
Rabbi.
Yerichana.
Rabbi Shimon
Bar Yochai. I would have thought it was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi.
Yeah.
Rabbeinu HaGadol, you know.
That was my next one.
But apparently it's Rav. That's what Rashi writes. Rav. So Rav Chista said, I heard from Rav. And Hashem, V'amakam yeh be'azra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should assist him. Yeah, I guess that was his way of saying shlita, you know? The bottom of Lamed Gimel Amid Aleph. Amr Chista, Dabar Zer Rabbeinu HaGadol Amarai. The following thing, Rav said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him. Leishanu, Ela b'makam echad. So how do you read this, Leishanu Ela? What does that always mean? The Gemara says, Leishanu Ela. What does that mean? Right, so that's really confusing.
No,
it's one of these like double negatives.
There's no difference.
Lo shanu, shanu here means like l'shanein, to learn. Lo shanu elo, we didn't learn except. So in normal English, what does that mean?
We only
learn. It means we only learn. Meaning, in what is it? What's the concept? What's the idea? That whenever the Gemara says, lo shanu elo means that principle of the Mishnah only applies in the following case. You with me? Lei shanu ela means that halacha only applies in the following case. So what is the Gemara doing in the abstract? It is minimizing the din. You with me? Lei shanu ela means that which you thought was a broad halacha is not. It is more narrow than you thought. Yeah? So you should know that. Whenever you find the Gemara saying lei shanu ela, what the Gemara is doing is it's saying that broad principle is not as broad as you think. I'm going to narrow it down. So this principle, which is a problem, a psul, that if it has too many berries, more berries than leaves, it is puzzle. So we would have thought, you'll picture it in your mind, you've got this big hadas branch, it's got berries all over it, and there are more berries than leaves. Leishanu ela v'makim echad. It's only puzzle if those berries are in one place. This is very different than what we originally pictured it. I pictured a bunch of berries growing all over this branch. There's so many of them. Says Rav, no. What it means to say is that there's one spot on this branch that's got a ton of berries. So if you count them, there are more berries than leaves. But it's not like there are berries all over this branch. Aval b'shnayim v'shlosh mekomos. If you have berries growing in two or three different places on the branch, so it's more evenly distributed, kasher, then it's kasher. Amalei Rabba, shnayim u'shloisha mekomos. Two or three places are growing on this branch. Havi menumar. Then it's menumar u'pasol. What's menumar? Anybody know? Want to take a guess like what the sherish might be? Good guess. I'll give you a hint. The mem is not part of the sherish. But nun, mem, and resh. Yeah, what's a namer? Havi oz ka namer, says Pirkei Avos. She's brazen like a feline. So it means like a leopard. Leopards have spots. So if it is two or three places got all these berries growing, that's called menumar upasol. That's called a spotted hadas, and that is pasol.
Was it spotted?
Yeah.
And what was the church of the word?
Namer. Namer is a leopard. Menumar means it's spotted like a leopard. Zukt Rashi, the top Rashi, says, Delav hadarhu. It's not beautiful. It's not hadar. Shariyanavim shchayreis. We'll see. That the berries are black. Ve'alan yoreikin, and the leaves are green. So it's spotted. It is speckled like a leopard. And therefore it's puzzle. So what's the problem? How could Rav say that? It doesn't make any sense. Rav said that if the berries are in one place, that's pasul. But if berries are spread out all over the place, that's still kosher, even though if you'd add them up, there are more berries than leaves. Says Rav, what? That's a separate psul. That's a psul of menumar, that it's speckled. That's no good. Eliyin morachi edmar. If Rav really said something in this regard, this is what he must have said. Oishayinav merubin mayalav, or that its leaves, its berries are more numerous than its leaves. Pasul. Amrichas the davar zera rabbeinu agadol amaroi v'makim yevo azroi. Rav said something about this, Hashem should help him. What did he say? Loishanu ella. Again, so now we're reinventing Rav's minimization, his limitation on the principle. Loishanu ella navim shcheres. It's only true when the berries are more numerous, not when it's in one place, even if it's in many places. It's still a problem. But it's only a problem if the berries are black. I will enough of Yoroikos, but if the berries are still green, and you haven't ripened yet, so then, Mine the Hadashu Vikasher. Since it's not ripened berries yet, and it's still the same color, it's still considered to be a species or part of the Hadas, and it is Kasher. Okay, so that's the principle. So we're not saying that it's only a problem if it's in one place, but if they're spread out, then it's still kosher. That's not true, because that's menumar, and that's a problem. But if they're spread out all over the place, and they're black, oh, that's a problem. But if they're spread out all over the place and they're green, that's fine. It's only puzzle when the red berries are black.
But it would also be
puzzle. Puzzle. That's what you have to keep in mind. It's a limitation on the psul. It's actually a kula. Okay. Amar of Papa said, Adumos kishchereis damyon. What's adumos?
Red.
Kishchereis damyon. What's damyon? What's dummy? Similar to. So, heichi dummy. What's it similar to? Black is like red. Black is right as red. Adumas kishar is damyon. Yeah, you want to say it the other way, you can say it the other way. But they're the same. What? Black and red are not the same. What are you talking about? So he has a very interesting proof. The Amar Rechanina, Hai dam shachor, this blood that's black, adoimhu, is really red. Elisha laka, but it was smitten. It's old. What? Any ideas going on over here? Did anybody learn this? Rashi says dam shachor, but isha adamu. Black blood, when it comes vis-a-vis a woman, hilchas nida, is really red. Ela shalaka, but it was old or something happened to it. Fichach tamuhu, and therefore it's tamei. Kidisnan, as we learn in the Mishnah in Nida, chamisha damim tameim ba'isha. Five bloods will make a woman tamei, make her a nida. Adam, Shachor, Vechule, two of them are red and black. So what's going on over here? I'll tell you a fascinating shaila. My Rebbe Rav Glucksman Zichron Liracha. See, he said a woman came up to him and she said she's having a procedure that's a blood procedure. And because of the blood procedure, she may see blood, you know, coming from the Nida area, but it's going to be white. It's not going to be red. They were removing the red blood cells or whatever that works. So she may see some sort of liquid, and it'll be blood, but it won't be red. So just be aware that's a side effect or whatever, you know, it shouldn't concern you. So she got very concerned. Is that going to make me a nida? I'm bleeding. So she went to her Glucksman, and she asked him, am I going to be a nida? So, post came out there, what do you say? No? Yeah, obviously, yes. Blood?
No.
Why not?
Because it's not a specific thing.
Because Chazal say, interestingly enough, blood has to be red. And if it's not red, then it's not defined as blood.
That makes absolute sense.
Imagine you're all get married, right? Your wives are going to do bedikos to make sure that they're not anida or maybe to become tahora, whatever, all the bedikos that the wives are going to make. And there are all kinds of liquids that are going to come out on this thing. So sometimes you have to show it to the Rav and sometimes you don't. You got to know what you're looking at. You got to know what's a question, what's not a question. So certain colors are problematic and certain colors are not. Go ahead and do a DNA test or some sort of, take it to a lab. It could be that some of those things will be defined by the scientists as blood. But it doesn't make a difference because in halacha, that's not defined as blood. You have to know what the halachic definition of blood is. And you have to know all your colors to be able to pass in these things and to know.
It makes sense to take it to the major
component
out of the blood.
Okay, fair enough. But that's the way it comes out. So says the Gemara, you should know, based on the Mishnah in Nida, that black is also considered to be red, which is a funny thing to say. Why don't you just say black isn't considered blood? The answer is because blood is red. But black is red. It's just that it's been affected in a certain way that it comes out black, but it's really considered to be red. So it's interesting. So that has to do with Hilchas Nida. You don't get black shilas. I don't know how often that's happened, but that's what the Gemara says. What our Gemara does with that is very interesting. It says that when it comes to the berries on the Hadas, so red and black are the same, because when it comes to blood in Hilchas Nida, red and black are the same.
And how bad
does it mean? That's
so far-fetched. So what is Gemara trying to say? Does it matter? And what if it was blue? Maybe they're just never blue. So what are you saying? Why does the Gemara express itself in this way, right? Anyway, whatever it is, but that... So I'll tell you like this. I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but there, in one of the Svarim, called the Kapos Tamarim, so he wants to know why the Gemara expresses itself in this way. The berries, you mean?
No, it's not blood.
Blood in general. Blood does have very different colors. It's true.
Yeah, I'm saying like it could be blackish red.
So what is it? Why do we have to say that by berries? In other words, the Gemara said that menumar is a problem. But menumar means it's speckled. So if it's green, it's not speckled. It has to stand out. So meaning anything other than green is a problem. So black would be a problem. Ring, ring. Umetaret, so he answers... The Rav Papa was bothered by when Rav said Lo yishanu ela anava of shchayres. The psul only applies when they're black. Why did he have to say it like that? But anything which is a black berry, apparently, they start off red. So I don't know. You got to go get a botanist in here and figure out what these berries are in the Hadassim. But apparently, the way they grow is they start off red and then they turn black, but they're never blue or any other color. That's just the way they grow naturally. So why did Rav have to say if they're black, they're a problem? Why didn't he say red is a problem or black? Why did he have to express himself as only black? Red is also a problem. No. So that's why the Gemara says, just FYI, the reason Rav said it like that was because black and red are really the same thing. All right, whatever it is, but that's the Gemara says. Okay. Imiyatan kasher. If you do take off the berries, then your branch will be kasher. Remember, yesterday we spent a long time discussing this idea of dechia by mitzvos. Is there a concept of pushing something off, invalidating something, like by karbanos? By karbanos, we said that if something is invalidated, then you're finished, and that's for sure true if it was never valid. If it had some kind of psul that you could never bring as a karban, and then somehow it becomes valid later, that doesn't help you. And then we discussed the case, which was a machlekes. What happens about if it was nirev and nidche? It was available, and then it became invalid. And the example that I gave yesterday was with, do you remember? The two se'irim. Asari la'ashem, asari la'azazel. They are twins. They have to be a pair. So if you shechted your se'ir la'ashem, and you want to sprinkle the blood, and the se'ir la'azazel has a heart attack because he knows he's about to push off a cliff soon, and he dies. And now you only have one se'ir left, so what do you do? So can you just bring another Sa'ir and designate him as a Seir La'azazel? Will that rescue the Seir La'Hashem? Because he's been invalidated because he doesn't have his pair. So he became invalid. He was valid. He became invalid when his pair, when his Zivik died. And now you bring a new one, does he become rescued? Does he become valid again? Or do you say once he became invalid, you can't rescue him, and you got to start over with a new pair? And so the Gemara says, that's an issue by Karbanos. What about by mitzvos? You have your hadas. It was invalid because it had berries all over it. You pick the berries, now it's valid. Well, if you did that before Sukkah started, for sure you're good to go. But what if you waited until after Sukkah started to do this? So you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. If you did it already, so then it sounds like it's kosher. So what's the story? That means you can't invalidate. You can always rescue a hadas. You can't always rescue a hadas. And yesterday we didn't come to a clear conclusion about this. It was a little confusing what the maskana of the Gemara was. Now the Gemara goes back to it.
What do we say by Al-Azazel when it comes to the goats?
That's the issue, Akrabanos. That's a big issue, Akrabanos. You say, Nirvanidcha, is it possible, not possible? That's a whole complicated sugi over there. So the Gemara says, Imiyatan kasher, if you took off the berries, so that now there are more leaves than berries, now your hadas is kasher. Asks the Gemara, Dimeatino Emas. Emas is a question. Means, anyone know what Emas is? What question that is? Like, Emasai. A question. Means when? Emasai is a question. So, when? Elema. What does Elema mean? If Lema, you say, Mikame de la Agade. What's Kame? Before. In front of, right? Mikame de la Agade. Before you made your Eged. What's an Eged again? Don't tell me the bus service, yeah. You bound it. You tied it together. If you plucked off the berries before you tied it together with the other minim, pshita. So obviously, what could possibly be the problem? Now, seems to me yesterday we thought it was a problem if it was after Sukkot arrived. So we have to figure out how the two gemaras fit together. But this gemara is assuming that if you didn't put the hadas into your eged yet, you didn't bind them yet, what could possibly be wrong with it? By the time you put it into your eged, it's fine. So what's wrong? Pshita, it's good. Elevasul agdin. It must be that you put it with berries into your eged. It's no good, too many berries. Okay, so you'll pluck some off. And it's still kosher. Dichu mikarahu. So that was never good. That's not that it was good. Imagine that you could have two cases that we're going to deal with now. You ready for this? One case is, you put it in your eged with berries, and you pluck them off. Here's a case that probably has never happened. You take a kosher hadas with no berries, or very few. You put it into your eged, and you put it in the water, and it grows new berries, and now it invalidates your hadas. So you pluck a few off after it's in the eged. So they were in the eged with no berries. In the eged, grew some more berries, possibly. And now you plucked some off, and now it should be valid again. That's the category that we had on the board yesterday. Nire v'nidche. It was good and got invalidated. Our case where you put it in the eged and it was no good to begin with because you put it in the eged with berries is what's called dichu mikara. That was always no good. So wait a second. So our Mishnah is saying, says the Gemara, let's get this straight. Our Mishnah is saying, it was never good. This hadas is no good. It's full of berries. You put it, you tie it together with your lulav and your aravis. You pluck off the berries, you're good to go. So what do you see from here? Dichu mikara. If it was never good, and you make it good, it's fine. There's no such thing called dichu mikara. If it wasn't valid, then it can't become valid. No. It can become valid. So that's the Gemara. It says, Tifshot mina. Let us learn from that. Let us conclude from that. Dichu mikara loy havi dichu. That this principle, dichu mikara, that it's no good from the outset, does not permanently invalidate it. The Lashon HaGemara, dichu mikara, the invalidation from the outset, lo havi dichu, is not a pushing off, is not an invalidation. You can rescue it by plucking off the berries later. So that proof only works if you assume that you plucked off the berries after it was in the eged. Because the Gemara said, if you pluck off the berries, before you put it in the eged, then what's the problem? So the only chiddush of saying if you pluck off the berries, it's kosher, is only a chiddush if it's already in the eged. Oh, but if it's already in the Eged, then it was invalid and you validated it. So the Gemara has a proof that Dichui Mikar is not Dichui. So Gemara says, I'm not convinced. La'olam, how do you translate La'olam?
Really?
Basar de'agde. It was after you binded it. Okay. Because Savar Eged hazmana ba'almahu. But this opinion holds that the putting it into the binding is not of significance other than you're preparing it for later. V'hazmana ba'alma lav klumhu. And hazmana in general, just preparing something in general, is not anything. Is nothing. What just happened there? The Gemara is assuming that there's a significance to the binding. Meaning, at some point, these arba minim become fixed as the mitzvah of arba minim. Yesterday, we assumed it was when Yontif began. This Gemara seems to be assuming it's when you bind them together, because that's how you create the status of the arba minim. So before they're considered to be your unique arba minim, you can do whatever you want to them. But when you put it in the Eged, oh, now you have your arba minim. And that's where the mitzvah begins. Whereas the mitzvah is to pick them up. Tying them together in the Eged is not of significance. So the fact that you already tied them and you pick off the berries, it's not true that these were delineated, these are designated, this is your mitzvah, and now there's like a dichui. There's no such thing. Tying it together is simply your way of preparing it to be used. There's no halachic significance to tying it together in that sense. So no, it's not a dichui because it was the mitzvah, it wasn't the mitzvah yet. None of that applies. Okay? So Gemara says, Ain't to me on this. Gemara says, the Mishnah told us that even though if you did pick off the berries, it would be kasher, but you can't pick them off on Yom Tov. Ha'avar v'liktan, my. So Gemara says, Remember we spoke many times about Mishnayos sometimes speak in a language of l'chadchila. This is something you can do and should do and it's great. And sometimes speak in a language of b'di'evan. What's this? What's the Lashon HaMishnah? V'ein mematin b'yamtiv. We don't pick off, minimize the berries, right? Miatin, literally, to make them fewer. We don't pick them off on yamtiv. And if you did?
Sounds like it's okay.
No, you're not allowed to. I'm not allowed, but you know, if I did, you know. It's all right. So meaning it's only l'chachila. L'chachila, you're not allowed. But if you did,
okay.
It would be valid. Ein mematin. We don't do it. What would have been the language of b'di'eved? How would the Mishnah have said it if it meant, and even if you do it, it's no good? Ve'im mi'eid b'yamtif. What? Puzzle. Because it's talking about the object. Whenever, I don't know about whenever, in general, when you speak about a behavior, you're not allowed to do it, that means it doesn't necessarily affect the object. But when you say the object is no good, then there's no way to save it. So here the mission doesn't say the object is puzzle. It says you're not allowed to do it. But if I did, sounds like the object is still kasher. So that's a language of lechatchila, not b'di'evit. So the Gemara says, so if you did transgress and you picked off the berries, what would be the halacha? Kasher. Your hadas would be kasher. So the Gemara has a language here of the ashchor emas. What does ashchor mean? Shachor.
Black.
Because remember, the berries are not a problem when they're green. Right? Going to what we said already today. So at some point they turned ripe. They became black or red or whatever. Because red is black. That's all I'm saying. So, when did they become black? Meaning, when did they become problematic? Because when they're green, they're fine. So, when did they become problematic? If they became black, what's esmo?
Yesterday.
Then they would have been invalid already before Yontif began. Tivshamina, learn out clearly, conclude from that. Dichui mikarad lavi dichui. That a dichui originally does not permanently invalidate your hadas, because you can pick them off and it'll be kosher. So this is very similar to what we said a minute ago and what we said yesterday. Here we're not dealing with the eged at all. We're only talking about the hadas itself. So forget the eged. Now the Gemara is assuming when yontif begins, that fixes this hadas as a hadas shal mitzvah. Before that it was just a nice branch, you know? People use hadasim for, you know, havdalah, right? Sfardim especially, no? Yisvi b'samim, no? Atzei b'samim. So you can use hadasim for all kinds of things. They don't have that. The only use for hadasim is not just your arba minim. So what fixes it as for mitzvah? Yontif. Yontif begins. A minute ago we said the eged. Now the Gemara concluded, the eged is not significant. It's just preparation. Okay, so maybe it's yontif itself. So if it was black before yontif began, and now when yontif began it was black, that's called dichui mikara. It was never valid. When yontif began, it was invalid. Dichui mikara. Two principles, right? It's called dichui mikara. It's invalid from the outset and nirav nidche, or it was valid and became invalid
from the outside.
Yeah, mikara means from its essence, which I'm using it to say from the beginning, from the outset. So the Mishnah told us that if you do pluck them off, it's kasher, which means again, says the Gemara, isn't this a proof that dichui mikara lehavi dichui, that an invalidation from the outset is not a permanent invalidation? You can get rid of the berries and you're good to go. So tiv shemina dichui mikara lehavi dichui elalav. Rather, isn't it true that ashkar biyomtiv, that that's not the case? That the case is they became black on yomtiv. And really it's a case of when it was valid, they turned black, and now you pluck them off and they're valid again. Isn't that the case? Where it was valid, yontif began, it became invalid by the berries turning black, and you made it valid again by picking off the berries. Isn't that the case? Shvat mina, nireh v'nidche, chayzer v'nireh. Don't we hear from here that if it was valid, made invalid, chayzer v'nireh, it comes back and can become valid. Isn't that true? Like, says the Gemara, no. La'olam da'ashkar mi'ikara. No, you could say that it became black before yontif began. Dichui mi'ikara, do'lo yahave dichui. And the principle would be that if it was never valid, you can make it valid. Tivshot mi'nei, that you can learn out. But you cannot learn out necessarily that if it was valid, became invalid, and now became valid again, that you can't learn out. Nira means valid. So nira means it was valid. Nidche became invalid. Chayzer v'nira, it comes back and becomes valid again. So let's just take a step back to understand this and process it a little bit. What the Gemara is saying is, as I have on the board for you, there are these two categories. Which one is the bigger chiddush? Meaning, which one's worse? Which one's more of an invalidation? If it was never valid and you validate it? Or if it was valid, it became invalidated?
It was valid and became invalid.
Right, that's worse. It's a bigger chiddush. If it was never valid and you're just doing one little thing to fix it, so the Gemara is willing to say that's a possibility. But to say that it was valid and then became invalid, and now you want to validate again, no. That's called passeling it. So let's just try to abstract it for a minute. If you have an item that just needs to be fixed to become proper, to become valid, we can handle that. But if you have something that was valid and you made it possible, so to rescue it is a much harder chiddush to make. To say that it once it became invalid, that you can now make it valid again, that the Gemara needs a real clear proof before it's willing to say that such a thing is true. Tanur Rabbanan. We learn a brisa in mamatin biyomtif. You're not allowed to pluck off the berries to minimize the berries on yomtif. Bishum Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Amru. In the name of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, they said mamatin. You are allowed to take off the berries on yomtif. Ooh. So we thought until now this is one of those things that you're not allowed to do. It's like a makabapatish type of idea, yeah? That you're making the hadas valid. So that's like a finishing touch on something. It's making something valid. That you're not allowed to do. We thought that was a real problem. I don't know. Maybe even deraisa. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe derabana. But now all of a sudden, Rabbi Elazar Shimon says you're allowed to do it. Frek the Gemara Kasha, the Gemara asks, V'haka misakein mone b'yomtiv? How could he allow that? But you're fixing something on yomtiv. You're fixing an item, an object on yomtiv. You're making it valid. From the world, how can he allow it? Amar Rabashi said, Rabashi could go in shaliktan la'achila. Because the case is where you pick them off to eat them. Ooh, what do you think about this?
Wait, is because you
think
that for the purpose of eating them?
Yeah, tricky, sneaky. What? Wait a minute, let's think it's true. You've got hadasim, they got berries on them. Can you use it?
Can you use the
hadas? They got berries all over them. Can you use it? More berries than leaves, and they're black. Or red. Can you use it?
No.
What do you have to do?
Fuck them off.
Can you pick them off on yontif?
No.
We thought you're not allowed. Says Rav Shimon, you can. Gemara says, what? You can't. You can't. You can't kosher your hadas on yontif. It's a malacha. It's derais, derabon, or whatever, but it's a malacha of makom patish. How can you allow it? So then we're answers for him, what? No, he's not fixing the hadas. He's just hungry. What's your question going to be? You're not allowed to fix the hadas. Good, no problem. You're not allowed to fix the hadas and make it valid on yontif, right? The way to fix it would be plucking off the berries. You're not allowed to do that. Everyone agrees to that. So how come all of a sudden Rav Shimon holds that you can? Because you're not plucking them off to fix the hadas. Why are you plucking them off? To eat them. Why can't you? What's wrong with that? Come on, what are you going to say if someone said this to you? Yeah, because at the end of the day, what did you do? You fixed it. What in the world? Like you said, what kind of loophole is that? That's absurd. You have another way to say this in halacha?
Rabbi Shimon says what?
Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon's son, Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Right? There were two that were in the cave together, right? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the son of Rabbi Elazar. He said, you're allowed to pick off the berries. Mark explains, because he meant you're going to eat them. So Amiel correctly says, what kind of bizarre loophole is that? You're fixing the hadas. You don't have enough hadas. You got to use this one, right? So you pick off the berries, but you're not allowed. No problem. You'll just pretend you want to eat them. You'll eat one. You'll feed it to your dog. You give it to one of your kids. I don't know. You play a marble game with them.
I didn't fix the hadas. I was just hungry.
You okay with that, Albert?
No.
Anybody okay with that? You are okay with that? I'm not coming to your house to eat. What in the world? Is a loophole? What is this? It should bother you, right? That's not legit. Whoa, what's going on here? I'm Ravashi, that's what Ravashi explained it. Kagoyin Shalikta Lachila. Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Shimon. Savar Lekavua. He held like his father. The Amar, why? What did his father say? What did Shimon Bar Yochai hold? You ready for this? The Amar, Davar Shein Miskavein Mutter. We all know this principle. A Davar Shein Miskavein, something that you don't intend for, is Mutter. This is a machlokis, a significant machlokis. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda held that Davar Shein Miskavein is Aser. It's Chayav. Okay, we don't pass it away. We pass it to Rabbi Shimon. That if you do something that has a consequence, that's an Avera, but you didn't intend for it, then you're allowed to do it. What's an example?
Grum.
What?
Would a grum be an example of
it? It's similar to the concept of a grum. I admit it's similar. Person wants to get a bench from his house to the shul. He's got a dragon on the floor. So you might make a ditch in the ground, you know, and anytime you make one of those holes in the ground, it's a furrow. Truth is, you could actually do some planting if you do that. So that's a type of plowing. You don't mean to do it. It's a davar sheino miskavein. So says Rabbi Shimon, davar sheino miskavein is mutter. A crazy application. The drinking the water in New York City. You like to drink the water straight from the water fountain in New York City? Yes, yes. So is the machlokas. But there are those that say, because of the copepod problem in New York City, water, gotta filter the water. Got these little crustaceans floating around. They're dead. But they're crustaceans nonetheless. Not allowed to eat dead crustaceans, not just live crustaceans. The lobsters also, they kill them when they boil them. Anyway, so you're not allowed. So what? Are you allowed to just drink the water?
Yes.
So, depends, right? Really, you should try to filter it. Okay. But if you're drinking it, do you intend to drink crustaceans? No. Are you going to drink crustaceans by definition?
No.
So that's what it all depends on. What do you mean all depends on? Are you ready for this? But both Abaye and Rava, because Abaye and Rava to agree on something is, you know, pretty big chiddush. So they both agree that Rabbi Shimon agrees if it's a psik resha velo yamus. You know what that means? Psik resha. If you cut off the head velo yamus and it doesn't
die.
And the Gemara starts sending stuff over there. Okay, let's explain this. I love to do this at home. If my daughter is bored, no problem. I just take one of my chickens I'm going to eat for dinner. I cut off the head and I say, Shifra, play with the head. She screams to her mother and then throw me out of the house again. Okay, whatever. I don't know when people really used to do this, but they used to give chicken heads to Emil's going to relate to this a lot. They used to give chicken heads to kids to play with, I guess. I don't know. But are you allowed to cut off the chicken head for your kid to play with on Shabbos?
Yeah.
She'll say, why not? I just want a toy. But the chicken's going to die. That's the Tilas Neshama, Shochet, that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. It's one of the 39 Melochas. You're not allowed to kill animals on Shabbos. I didn't mean to kill it. I don't even want to kill it. I just want its head to play with. Dude, it's going
to
die.
So you need to do the rest of the body.
Eat it after Shabbos. But that's not the point. Anyway, so what's the principle at work over here? Right, this is Hilchos Shabbos. ABCs, this happens all the time. Whenever you want to do something on Shabbos, and it has a consequence, that's a malacha. It's called a davar she'eino miskavi. It's something you don't intend to happen. The dragging of the bench is a classic example. You don't intend to make a furrow, but whatever, it may do it, it might not. If it may or may not, there's no way to really know, no way to predict until you test the ground and drag it. So then, it's a davar she'eino miskavi, and we pass him like Rabbi Shimon, mutter. But even Rabbi Shimon agrees that if it's gonna happen, it's automatic, it's gonna happen, then you're not allowed. That's a jerbana. Midaraisa, you're right, it's mutter, it's double shem miskavim. But because it's gonna happen, then it's aser. So the kopapad, no, it depends on this. If the cup, in that drinking, in that sitting, you're gonna consume a kopapad, statistically, so then it's a psikresha. You're not allowed. But if it's not necessarily, based on the statistics, it could be that in that cup of water, you're not going to drink the copepod. So even if you do, it's a davar she'eino miskavi. And the question is, how many, at what point do you have to check? But be that as it may, we're going to drag our bench. If the ground is clearly very, very soft and moist and it's going to make a furrow, so that even though you don't want to intend on making a furrow, it's just too heavy for you to carry, so you're going to drag it. It doesn't matter, it's a bishimin. It's a davar she'eino miskavi, but it's a psik reishin. Psikresha is code word for it's going to happen. Why is that code word for it's going to happen? Psikresha veloyamus? Can you cut the chicken's head off and it won't die?
No.
Obviously it's going to die. So you know that. You have to take that into account. It's not fully, at least the Rabbanan, it's not fully a davar she'eino miskavim. It's not fully something you don't intend to do. Because even you don't want it to happen, but it's going to happen. You have to take that into account. Good? So back to regular scheduled programming. So we said, you're not allowed to pick off the berries on Yom Tov. Comes along and realizes Rabbi Shimon and says, yes, you are. You can pick off the berries on Yom Tov. Ask the Gemara what happened to Makkah B'Patish, even Drabanan. Well, why are you allowed to do that? And the Gemara answers, he meant you're allowed to pick them off to eat them. But it's going to make the Hadas valid. Yeah, that's a davar she'eino miskavein. He intends to eat the berries. He doesn't intend to make the hadas valid. Very nice. But it's a psik resha. Because when you pick off the berries, it's going to become valid.
What's going to become valid?
The hadas. So are you following what's going on here? So the starting point is that you're not allowed to pick off berries because you're fixing the hadas. Rabbi Lezushin said, yes, you are. Gemara says, no, you're not. How can you say that? So Gemara answers, because he picked them off to eat them. His kavana, his intention was to eat the berries, not to fix the hadas.
But it wasn't. He really does want to fix the hadas.
Well, that's what we're going to get to in a second. But hold on. His real kavana was to eat the berries. You're right. It's going to fix the hadas. But that's a davar she'eino miskavi. The fixing of the hadas is not what he intends to do. He really just intends to eat the berries. As a consequence, the hadas will be fixed, but that's not, we don't care, because it's Dabar Shein of Iskavin. Says Gemara, we care! Why? Because that's the principle that even Rabbi Shimon agreed to. It's the creation of Eliyamus. Can you cut the chicken's head off and it's not going to die? Of course it's going to die. So even though it's a Dabar Shein of Iskavin, you don't want the chicken to die, you just want the head, but you have to take into account that it's going to die and therefore not allowed to do it. In our case, yeah, you'd theoretically be allowed to pick off the berries to eat, but not if it's going to automatically fix the hadas. That's the concept of psik reisha. It's automatically going to happen. You pick off the berries, the hadas will become valid. So even though you don't intend for the hadas to become valid, it will. And that's the principle of psik reisha v'liyamos. It's going to be usher, even though it's a davar she'eino miskavi. So now we're stuck. So how could Rabbi Elazar Rav Shimon say you're allowed to pick them off on Yom Tov? Even picking them off for eating is not good enough because it's a psik reisha. The hadas will become valid. Are we good? Answers the Gemara. Hey, Beis Ayin. Anyone want to take a guess? Hey, Beis Ayin. Nice. Hachav Mayaskena. And here with what are we dealing with? In other words, what's the case precisely? The is lehoshana acharisi. He has to him another hoshana. He has another hadas. He doesn't really need this one. What's the Gemara saying? What's the answer?
He has another hadas.
He has another hadas. So what?
This one doesn't matter, I guess.
Right. That's the Gemara's answer. That this one doesn't matter. Because he's really not intending at all for this one to become valid. He really just wants to eat the berries, legitimately, right? Amiel answers your question. He really intends just to eat the berries because he has other hadassim.
Even what?
I guess so. I don't know. I've never even seen ones with berries.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Does someone want to think this through with me for a minute? I thought that whenever the hadass becomes valid, it's a psik reisha. Why do I care that he has another one? Did it not become valid because he has another one? The Gemara is answering our problem. The problem is, very nice, you intend to pick off the berries to eat them. But it's a psik reisha that you're going to validate your habits. Right? Okay. And you're not allowed to do it because of that. Even though you intend to eat them. You're not trying to make a new habit. So the Gemara answers, no, because he has another one. He doesn't need this one to become kosher. He has other hadasim that are kosher. So what? He still made this one valid. So what? What's the answer? What is the Gemara's answer?
Or can he just pluck it off prior to Yom Tov and not have look before?
Whatever he could have done, we don't care about. This is what he did. He plucked them off. Now that Rav Shimon holds, you're allowed to, if two conditions. If number one, what? What's the first condition? The reason why you're plucking them off is to eat. And number two, you don't need this hadas because you have others. I mean, those two conditions, those Rav Shimon allows you to pluck off the berries on Yom Tov. But the question I'm asking you is, well, why does that change anything? Because you have other hadasim, you're still validating this one. So why does it matter if you have others? Anybody have a suggestion? Well, we'll take a look at Rashi and see if he helps us. Rashi says three lines down the wide line. The case is where he has another hadas. So he doesn't need this one. Hilkach ein kan tikun kli. Therefore, it's not considered to be fixing to the vessel. It's not considered fixing the hadas. The late tzricha leira achshura. He doesn't need it to kasher it. Did that help at all? Rashi goes on. V'lo gami hashka l'psik reisha. So now it's not similar to to the psik reisha, cutting the chicken's head off when it dies. The hasam over there by the chicken's head, ikan etilas neshama menam b'manoshak, because it's going to die no matter what. V'hach aleka tikun kli. Here it's not considered to be fixing anything. So what did Rashi just say?
Are you saying it's mentally not designated as fixing anything, right? Because we're not even planning on using it?
Yeah. Can you spell it out for me?
He's saying because the halas is not, that we're not even planning on using that halas. Because we're not even planning on using that halas, therefore we're not really fixing it. We're just taking berries just for the...
Yeah, that's what's going on, but I don't understand. It's not true!
No, but we're not going to use it at all for anything.
So
but
what?
Eating berries, so...
So we don't, there's nothing relevant. We can use the berries from the
hadas. Let me add one thing and tell me if this helps you to conceptualize it. What Rashi, I think, is saying, you ready? There's a difference between death, which is a fact, and the halachic status of a hadas. The only thing you change when you pick the berries is now you have a berryless hadas.
Which is kosher.
Which is not a malacha. What makes picking berries off a hadas a malacha is that you fixed something. You changed the status. Death is not a status. It's a reality. It's dead. So in order to make something dead, you kill it. You take off the head. It's dead automatically. There's nothing else to talk about. If you thought this, if you intended that, it doesn't matter what your intentions were. It's now dead. But Rashi is saying by a hadas, it's not like that. Because it depends on whether or not this is defined as a mitzvah hadas. What makes it a mitzvah hadas if you need it for the mitzvah? Otherwise, you're just making a berryless hadas. That's not a malacha. Anytime a person sits down to eat grapes on Shabbos, nobody says, now that I'd pick off the grapes because you're making a grapeless vine. There's no such thing. It's a malacha. The malacha is to change the status from an invalid hadas to a valid one. What does that depend on? If you have other ones, if you need this one, if you're actually making it into a kosher one in reality. The fact that you don't need it means that you're really not making a valid hadas. Now that's a chiddush, because I would have said, but it's available now. And that's what makes it a valid hadas. But the Gemara is saying not like that. The Gemara is saying, if you have one other ones available, then that's not called fixing anything, because it's a halachic status, which requires... Okay, then we need to go a little bit of a step further. Is that a kavana thing, or it's an availability thing? Is it because he doesn't intend on using it? That's not the lashon on Gemara. It's that there are that he has others available. So in reality, he didn't make one available. But be that as it may, the distinction is there. The distinction is because in the case of the psikresha, it's reality. The thing is dead. There's nothing to talk about. It's not a status. But status depends on whether or not you are making it valid. If you have others available, it's a little bit of a chiddush. It is a chiddush, but if you have others available, that's not considered making it a kosher hamas.
But can you still use it, though? You can get others available, and you're not...
Yeah, and then if you end up that you need it, you can use it. Then the Rabbanan. Hutar avda b'yantiv? Ogdo kaguda shel yerek. If the binding, we're going to finish with this, just a couple of lines. If the binding of your three minim came apart on Yom Tif, so we have a problem, right? You now have to tie knots on Yom Tif. So if it came undone, you're stuck, right?
No, you're allowed to if you need to.
Oh, so Gemara says like this, you're allowed to ogdo, you're allowed to bind it, ogdo shel yerek. Like the binding of vegetables. What's a binding of vegetables? So apparently, the easiest way to bind something is you wrap it up, wrap, and then tuck it in. You didn't tie a knot at all. You just wrapped it a bunch of times and then tucked in the string, the whatever.
So that's what we do.
So that you could do even on Yom Tov. Asks the Gemara, Amai. What's Amai?
Why?
Li anive me anev. Anybody know what an aniva is?
Like a time or something.
What?
A time or
something. An anav is humble, but it's an aniva? A certain type of knot. What type?
Type
unnecessary?
A bow. An aniva is a bow. It's a slip knot. Because that way, even with one hand, you can untie it. So it's not considered to be a full-fledged knot. Halacha lemaisa really does depend. Halacha lemaisa, if you are throwing out your garbage bags or something like that, and this bow is going to stay tied for the rest of eternity, that is a problem. Garbage bags you have to just kind of, you know, pull together until Motzei Shabbos. You can't tie a bow that's going to be a permanent one. Halacha lemaisa. But a bow, in and of itself, is not a permanent knot, because it can be untied with one hand easily. So ask the Gemara, why do you have to wrap it and then tuck in the end? Just tie it in a... what? In a bow! More answers. Hamani, whose opinion is this? That you're not allowed to even tie a bow. Rabbi Yehuda, it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Damar aniva shiram al yasehi. Because Yehuda held that a bow is considered to be a full-fledged knot. Okay? But we don't pass it that way. So apparently we don't have to hold it, Rabbi Yehuda. But that does reflect his opinion. E Rabbi Yehuda, wait a minute. If this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and that's why you're not allowed to tie a bow, you have to wrap it and tuck it in. Eged ma'al yasa boy. Rabbi Yehuda's the one that holds, you need a full-fledged eged. Your binding has to be a binding. So it would be pointless to wrap it in and tuck it in, because that's not called binding it, because he didn't tie it up. Why in the world would Rabbi Yehuda tell you to wrap it up if your eged came undone? He's the one that holds you need a real eged. That's not a real eged. What did you accomplish? This particular Tana is not actually Rabbi Yehuda. He held of Rabbi Yehuda in one area, but not in another area. This Tana held that you don't require a full-fledged eged, but he also held that a bow is considered to be a real knot. So in other words, there are different areas of halacha. When it comes to eged and the binding of the arba minim, so there were opinions that held you have to have a full-fledged knot in order to be considered a binding. Others held not like that. That's not true. As long as they're bound in one way or another, that's good enough. Other area of halacha, what's the status of a bow? Is a bow considered to be a full-fledged knot? Or because you could easily undo it, if not completed? On the one hand, it'll stay like that forever, like the garbage bags. A bow will stay like that forever if you don't untie it. But it's not going to come undone by itself. But it is easy to untie even with one hand. So how do you view bow? So again, a machlokes, if a bow is considered to be a full-fledged knot or not. Knot or not. So here you have two areas of halacha. Eged and bows. Rabbi Yehuda held a certain way by both of those. Rabbi Yehuda held, when it comes to eged, you need a full-fledged eged. And he held that an aniva is considered to be a full-fledged knot. But this Tana didn't hold both ways because they're two areas of halacha. He held that an aniva is a full-fledged knot, so you can't do that on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But he also held that an eged required for lulav does not have to be a heavy-duty eged. Wrapping it up is good enough. So that's why he held that you can't tie a bow, but you can wrap it and you will accomplish something, because he held that's good enough to be considered an eged in Hilchos lulav. So here's an area of Torah where it's interesting. You have overlap between two areas. The halachas of kshira, of knots, and the halachas of binding things. They don't have to be the same. They could be. Because what do you mean? Even in a binding? Binding means you have to tie it in a knot. That's reviewed. But not everyone agrees with that. It could be an eged, even just by wrapping it up. So this is one of those interesting areas of halacha, where if you know how to separate them, you may come to different conclusions, even though other opinions may say there is overlap. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to say is that a lot of times you'll have halachas that overlap different areas of halacha. And sometimes they won't. There'll be this like that, and there'll be this like that. You can't always assume that one thing is always the same. There's like almost like a joke that they say in the name of Reb Chaim Brisker, that there's the concept of panim chadashos. What are panim chadashos? Anybody know?
Shever
brachos. You want to make shever brachos? So you're supposed to have a minion. You got to have a minion to say all the brachos. And you have to have at least one person. That is panim chadashos. Literally, a new face. Panim chadashos. So what do you need for panim chadashos? A person that wasn't at the wedding or whatever, you know? That brings an extra simcha. So is it true that that word panim chadashos always means the same thing across the board? Is it legit in halacha to take a principle that applies in one area and apply it equally the same across the board? Said Reb Chaim, obviously not. Because if it was true, you could use a new plate as panim chadashos for shever brachos. What? That's right. Because sometimes you have situations where you kasher a plate or you make it anew or whatever, you put it back together, and Chazal have the lashon panim chadashos ba'u lekan. It's not considered the same plate, it's considered a brand new plate. You take cheres, pottery, and it became tameh. Can you fix that?
Yes.
No, right? Cheres, the only way to fix it is to smash it. But by smashing it, you now have smaller pieces, which theoretically you could use. Are they still tummy?
No.
Why not? Panim chadashos ba'ulikan. It's not the same vessel anymore. It's a new vessel. Great! So you'll bring that smashed shard from your pottery, and you'll bring it to the Shever Brachis, and I have panim chadashos? Obviously not. So principles in halacha sometimes uniquely apply in one area, and they don't necessarily overlap and apply in other areas. So anyway, that's just one of the things.